open up by saying to repent, to repent. This is, I don't know if you know, I don't know much about being a lawyer or a court other than TV and the OJ series that I really got hooked into earlier this year. But the lawyers in a trial will have what they call an opening statement. And they will also end up having a closing statement. And these statements win cases and they lose cases. So these are powerful. They speak to what the case, what angle they're going to come from. So we all remember Johnny Cochran with the, if the glove does not fit, you must acquit. That corny thing ended up winning the case. So it was a powerful thing. But we're not talking about a lawyer. We're talking about Jesus tonight. And I want to talk about the coming of the Lord. And I'm not talking about what time it is. I'm not talking about at what point he's coming. I don't want to go there. That's an argument. Somebody else can have that one. I believe he's going to come at the last trump when he said he's going to come. I'm not going to go there. But I want to talk about his coming and what it's all about. When Jesus came on the scene, it said, and at that time, he began to preach. And if you looked at his ministry, the whole 3.5 years, it was just this focus. The kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God is at hand. Nothing else. Everything came under that umbrella. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And also, it sounded familiar to them at that time because somebody else, John the Baptist, had just came on the scene, and he said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And I was thinking about repent, and we all have our own preconceived notions of what it is to repent. We've always been taught to turn around and go the other way. But literally, what Jesus was talking about in the Greek, I'll read it, in the Greek it says, to think differently, or afterwards, reconsider. Now, ain't that a God for your mercy? I mean, he's saying, I need you just to think about things afterwards, and then reconsider your position. We live in a day and age where it's easy to get caught up in where you are right now. But you have to sometimes, even after you've been washed in the blood, you have to reconsider your position on something or where you're at. So we're constantly saying, Lord, I repent. I want to do better. I want to stop this. And now I see I need to do this other thing. So it's a constant work. We're not, I don't care how long we've been in church, we're always going to be working on something until we become perfect. So we're constantly doing something. But tonight I want to do a little different thing here, because we have a church and there are churches, and according to Pastor Walden, I'm going to make a statement here that he made, and I said, wow, that was very powerful. He said that 90% of the problematic people in churches, about 90%, they have one thing in common. One thing in common. And that one thing is giving. Believe it or not, it's giving. They have struggles in their giving. They're inconsistent in their giving. And I thought about this and I said, how do you get to that next level in God for all of us as a group collectively and as a church? Not just this church, everywhere. And I was looking at, I want to ask and get a general consensus. When you think about when what Jesus talked about most in his ministry, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He talked about a few things a lot. And I will tell you, he talked about praise, prayer more than anything else. More than anything else, he talked about prayer. The second thing he talked about more than anything else is praise. And after those two things, he talked about giving more than anything else. And you say, what relationship does giving have with praise and prayer and getting to the kingdom of heaven? It has a lot to do with it. I can't really make all of the connections, but just stay with me if you will. I want to get somebody to tell me who in the entire Bible, if you said the word praise, is there someone in the entire Bible that would come to mind? Nope. One person said, David, is there anybody else? Daniel, when we say talking about praise. Daniel, David, anybody? Let me see a show of hands who would believe that it's David. Who praised God more than anybody else ever? Raise your hand if you believe it's David. Okay, raise your hand if you think it's Daniel. I would have to side with the majority on this one. There's nobody that praised God more than this man praised God. And his prayer was not behind too many people either. So when you look at this person, you gotta say, let me watch everything that he does. Because some kind of way he's gotten God's attention on a lot of things. So let me look at his life. So if you don't mind, turn it to 1 Chronicles, the 29th chapter. And let's look at this David. And that's funny because that's what I said too when I'm studying. I was like, it's between David and Daniel. But Daniel is probably edging them out in prayer, but David is edging them out in praise. They're still, you know, God's people. So we thank God for those examples that we have. So I want to read this about David tonight because we heard about all of his works at the beginning. When he came on the scene, it was all about God. If you remember, it was about the giant. It was all about God in the beginning, right? But what you don't realize is, like Jesus, repent. And it carried throughout his ministry. It was all about God, even in the end. Doesn't mean that we don't fail God once in a while. Doesn't mean we don't come up short, because we know David came up short. But in the end, his body of work made him stick out so much that Jesus said, I am the root and the offspring of David. And he wanted to associate himself with David. If I'm a man, I want to be David. That's who I want to be. If I can be anybody in this world, God is saying, if I can do anything, if I can be anybody, David is the one I'm going to choose to be. He's the root. Do you understand that in planting, you got roots, and then you have offspring? That's completely from top to bottom, bottom to top. That's who I want to be. Let's look and see, why is this man so important to God? And it's not like he has some secret. It's just something you can do and I can do. It's about our hearts tonight. Now this is, we all know, I gotta explain this so I don't have to read everything. This is David went to God and said, this is not fair that we carry you around in an ark somewhere. We need to build you a house. We need something for you. We all know the story. And God rejected that idea. He said, wow, you want to build something for me? You want to do something for me? Nobody ever wanted to do this kind of thing for me. But you, David, wanted to do it. But you can't. And that must have hurt because he had too much blood in his past. Too much behind him. So you can't do it. But I tell you what, I'm going to let your son Solomon do it. But because he rejected him, you think he's out of the picture, right? Not so. Here we go. 29. Let's just read part of the first verse. I'll read that. Furthermore, David king said unto all the congregation, Solomon my son, whom alone God has chosen, is yet young and tender. And the work is great, and the palace is not for man, but for the Lord. What he's saying is, my son is not quite there in a position to do what I really wanted to do for God. But I'm going to help him get prepared for that thing. Verse 2. Now listen to what David said. Now I have prepared with all my might for the house of my God the gold. I'm going to cut that. What he's saying is, with everything I had in me, all of my possessions, I'm going to get it ready for my God, the house of my God. And Solomon had to do very little work. And I like to believe that this is why Solomon has such a beautiful start with God, because his father set him up lovely. He goes on to say, all that, saving some time, he's like, there's going to be things in the house that needs gold. And it's going to be, you're going to use gold to fashion it, and you're going to need silver. So he's like laying the gold here, laying the silver here, getting the brass together, getting everything together, laying it all out. Verse number 3. Moreover, because I have set my affection to the house of my God, I have of my own proper good the gold and silver which I have given to the house of my God, over and above all that I have prepared for the holy house. Now, I wrote this down earlier, but what he's saying is, I got what was needed for the house. Not only did I get what was needed, I did way above that. I made sure it was you're not going to get it halfway through. I took my stuff and I just gave. A giving heart. But look what happens after he made this offering, down in verse 6. Then, after he gave this offering, then the chief of the fathers and princes of the tribes of Israel, and the captains of thousands and of hundreds, with the rulers of the king's work, offered willingly. Hallelujah. Willingly. Sometimes people are waiting to do something good for God, and they're looking at you to see, what are you going to do? And then when you do something, it's contagious. It starts a domino effect. You start, praise is contagious, and giving is contagious. It's not a show-off. Yet David was not showing off. He had this in his heart to do, and people can sense it. When you are sincere, people sense your sincerity. I don't care, you can smile at someone all you want. If it's not a sincere thing, they see right through it. They can tell God has given us these senses. They know if you're really for them or you're against them. And if they don't know at the time, they'll eventually find it out. But these people knew, this man is serious. He's so serious, I'm going to give them. But look at verse 9. Then the people rejoiced for that they offered willingly, willingly, because with a perfect heart they offered willingly to the Lord. And David the king also rejoiced with great joy. Wherefore David blessed the Lord before all the congregation. And David said, blessed be thou, Lord God of Israel, our fathers, forever and ever. And it goes on to this long prayer and praise. And David's so excited, he's like, I can't believe all of these people have given so much. I'm excited about what they did. Sometimes in church, we don't get excited one for another like we should. If somebody's in a position and they gave, we ought to be happy. Wow, the church is going to go forward. The work of God is going to go on. I only had 2 pennies to give, but the work is still going to go. They had it all, and they gave. It's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing. In church, we forget where we came from sometimes. And we get new people in the church, and you know, it's hard sometimes. We forgot that we had a day one, we had a day number 2, and now we're on day 3,000, and we got it going on, right? But you can't forget where God has brought you from. You've got to remember that, hey, new people are going to struggle, and they're going to have their difficulties. For an example, I'll stick with men because women have issues in this particular area. If a man gets saved and he comes to church and he wears one of those Mexican hats, sombrero, you know, and it's not part of our culture, right? But he will not take that hat off. sit right up front somewhere. And it's like, well, this brother just take the hat off. Why is he? Listen, this man is coming to church. If it's that much of a problem, his hat, don't look at it. Stop looking at his hat. Get in front of him. Stop letting the hat cause you problems. Just rejoice. In my mind, the most important person here is the last one in the door. And that's how you got to look at it. Because Jesus said, in as much as you've done unto the least of my brethren, you've done it to me. And if you didn't do it, you've done it to me. But he's looking at how we treat the least. We don't want to be a stumbling block for the least. We want to encourage. And maybe our praise, maybe our giving will make them give. And maybe they will praise. And maybe they will learn not to look so mad. Maybe they'll smile once in a while like Evangelist Bloomfield. Maybe they will come in happy. Maybe they look like a statue. But it's a lot at stake if we really stop and think. It's too much at stake. He is coming. The Lord is coming. Yes. And I like to say, consider your ways. The Lord is coming. Yes. Consider your ways. Amen. And I'm gonna, some of us should reconsider our ways. Amen. Jesus is coming back. Yes. God is coming back. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, it's too many trivial things that get in the way and impede us from going to that next level. Too many obstacles, too many things that we fail to have that empathy that we should one for another. And this is a good thing. When David, see, God said, I want to be like David, because David was able to be happy when it was all about somebody else. He didn't need to be the guy all the time. And that was the thing about David. You know, when you look and you see it, it looks like he needed to be the guy all the time. That's not true. He didn't need to be the guy. He would rejoice over another man's situation. And he would get happy. This is, he's about to die here. He's about to die here. And he's doing all this with all his might. Let's go down to verse 14. Because all he's doing is blessing the Lord all through this chapter. But who am I, and what is my people, that we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort? For all the things come to thee, and thine own have we given thee. You blessed us anyway. We just given it back to you. I can't believe that the people gave after this sort. I mean, I was overtaken a few years ago when we were at Pascal Page's church, and all those churches got together for our little church here. And all those churches gave something to this church. And I'm like, I can't believe the love that so many people poured out of their own. It was a time of rejoicing, but that time it was us receiving. How do we handle when it's us to give? This is why I told you there's some kind of link between giving and praise. I don't know what it is, but the Lord said, this is why I believe, he said, the Lord loves a cheerful giver. It's something about that guy that, now I'm not saying, don't get it twisted here. I'm not saying you always give so you're never having issues, you're never having problems. That's not what I said. If you go back to what I said, 90% of the problematic people, when you go into their situation, you find out they have stopped giving offering, they don't pay tithe any longer, and that's what Pastor Walden was dealing with. He said, what happened, and someone just talked to Elder Camp, I don't know who, a pastor, and he said to me, this is some time ago, he said that the pastor was going to lose a few people, and these people were problematic people. They were combative. They were always coming at him with something, and they were always at a meeting, and they were always high maintenance. Always. So the pastor said, okay, I know they're leaving. It's a few of them. Let me see how we're going to take the hit financially. So we may have to adjust some things. We may have to do this. Let me go in and see, okay, what tithe and offering are we going to lose here? So the pastor went in, and whoever did the tithe and offering said, Pastor, these folks haven't paid tithe and offering in about a year. And he's like, oh, so we already took the hit a year ago, and then we just been dealing with it. Oh, well, we're good. I thought we had to make an adjustment because we're going to lose money coming in for the church. But again, about 90% of the problematic people have that one thing in common. I'm not saying that because you give a big offering, you are never a problem. That's not what I said. So don't think, oh, I give a big offering, so I'm good. No, you don't get off the hook that easy. You don't get off the hook. You can give all you want. Sometimes those people have problems too. You know? Hallelujah. But what I'm talking about tonight is making it worth something in our minds. Listen, I'm not going to have a problem about a sombrero when I know heaven's at stake, when I know Jesus is coming back. It is such a powerful thing in our lives. It's a time that it's pain and suffering no more. Why would you want to cause a problem and somebody leave all of these blessings that's going to come upon us? They leave because you had a problem with their hat. I'm not going to mess with a brother with his hat because I know that the Lord is coming back. It's a lot at stake. The Bible says, set your affection on things that are above and not things that are on the earth. I'm not worried about all of these insignificant things. I'm trying to press toward that mark. And if I have an issue with you, like the brother Sunday had the brother Justin's, Minister Simon's friend came and he said that, hey, he did something that was out of character and he turned back and said, hey, I'm not normally like that. That was commendable because we've all been there. We've all did something and we look bad for like 30 seconds. But that's not our body of work and we know that. But the ability to recognize, I got to change, reconsider my thinking. I have to repent of that thing. I got to turn away from that kind of stuff. And I got to look at what's at stake. What's at stake is Jesus is coming. And that is the main thing right now. I remember the message. The main thing is to keep the main thing, and that is the main thing. Jesus preached 3.5 years, repent for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So you see, he knew what was at stake. If you only knew what was at stake, you would not get in anybody's way. You would encourage them. You would lift them up. You would pray for your pastor. You would lift them up. There's going to be times when they do wrong. They do something that they make a little mistake or not thinking clearly, but you have to pray for them. Instead of having an issue, you can pray and lift one another up. This is what time we're living in. You don't want anybody to miss this train. You don't want anybody to be late for this train. Why would you be a stumbling block for your brother and your sister? You don't want to stand up on when it's time to be judged and you say, well, you stopped this person because they were going to come to your church and you spoke to them so nasty that they said, if this is what church is all about, I'm going back out into the world. Can you imagine if that happened? We have to, God forbid, but we have to guard ourselves. And sometimes we don't do it all right, but it's okay because you can reconsider your position. And afterwards you can turn around and say, you know what? I was probably wrong about that. And you can come back and say, forgive me, please help me out and work with me, you know? So it's time to realize that God is on the way back. The Bible says the dead in Christ shall rise. This is what we're talking about. God is going to come at the last trump. He's coming back. The Bible talked about the angel at the end of the age. It said the angel is going to step out of glory and come to heaven. But this is no ordinary angel. I believe it's in the 10th chapter of Revelation. This particular angel, it said his face looked like the sun, and he had a rainbow on his head, and his feet had fire on it, and he was clothed in a cloud. But this angel came down, and he stepped one foot in the sea, and he stepped one foot on dry land. And this angel, when he began to speak, he opened up his mouth, and it sounded like a lion roaring. And if you know anything about a lion, the lion's roar can be heard 5 miles away. This is so important that he spoke as a lion, and it was loud. Not only did he speak as a lion, but 7 thunders went off while he was speaking. And I gonna praise, and I'm gonna give, and I'm gonna live for. We shall not all sleep. Do you understand that? But we gotta be changed. When? At the last trump. At the last trump, my God is able to take everything in our lives, everything, and make it straight. My God is coming back soon. He's coming back soon, and he's looking for a people that's gonna be ready without spot or blemish. My God is coming. He is coming. Let's look at 1 Thessalonians. The Bible says, for the Lord himself, he's not going to give that to somebody else, but the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God. Can you imagine that? He's going to be talking with the archangel's voice, with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise. And then the Bible says, we that are alive and remain will be caught up together to meet him in the air. And so shall we never be with the Lord. And the Bible says, wherefore comfort one another with this. Comfort one another with this. Hallelujah. That's comforting. If you are going through something, in the back of your mind, it's like, well, I know Jesus is coming. That's one thing I got. One thing I got over you. Jesus is coming. Not, maybe not over you, but Jesus is coming. I got that. I know I may not be employed. I may be going through some things, but I know Jesus is coming. Comfort one another. There's a blessing in comforting one another. I don't care what we are going through. When you turn to someone and say, Jesus knows all about it, just remember, he's coming back. He's coming back. The Bible says, when he was talking about Israel, he said, oh, that they were wise, that they understood this. Oh, that they were wise. I forgot to give honor to my wife tonight. I didn't forget, but I didn't remember either. Same but different, I guess. Thank you. This is going to be short. The Lord said, and he brought the children of Israel out. We can all stand at this time. And he brought the children of Israel out. And after he had done many things, they just kept rebelling. And they kept doing the things they wanted to be back in Egypt in their heart. And he said, oh, that they were wise, that they understood this, that they would consider their latter end. Oh, that they were wise, that they understood this, that they will consider their latter end. Our latter end is beautiful, folks. We got a lot to praise God about. There's no reason to go around sad and depressed. We got a lot to praise God for. He's a mighty deliverer. God is a merciful God, and he's coming back one day at the last trump. At the last trump. Hallelujah. I thank you tonight. God bless you.